Lamentations chapter 3 this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 is where we're going to start out at. The ushers are walking down the aisle with the purpose in mind to make sure that you have a Bible to study with. Just raise your hand. We'd count it a privilege to pass one over to you. There's no charge for it, of course. It's all yours. If you want it, take it or pass it on to someone else if you know someone that needs one. And then for all of us, we're turning to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25. As Tim mentioned, there'll be no study tonight, but typically we gather on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock to travel through the Bible. Lord willing, we'll pick it up again next Sunday nights. But as we work through the Bible, we have arrived at Lamentations 3, 25. Where it declares, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. A well-known Bible commentator by the name of H.A. Ironside says of these verses, he says, the reasons the truth here taught are so little entered into is simply because waiting upon God is largely a lost art among Christians nowadays. End quote. I pray that we are not in that number. There's a great blessing for those who learn to wait on the Lord. But what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? What's the Lord really saying here? How do we do it, since there's blessings in store for those who do? You know, it's just very much in my heart this morning that we would be a people who practice waiting on the Lord. And while it might not seem like a very glamorous topic this morning, it is so critical. And so I, as the one who has the privilege of being the senior pastor here, just this week, I've just had in my heart to try to once again encourage all of us to learn and practice this whole thing of waiting on the Lord. I've called our time together, those who wait for Him. Let's pray. Father, all this in heaven too, Your very presence, Your forgiveness, just the hope and the encouragement, the wisdom, the blessing that You so freely pour out upon us. Who are we, Lord, that You'd be even mindful of us? But You are, and You love us, and You sent Your Son to die for us. You make known the way of life, and You give us a path to walk today, a path of blessing, and You give us a refuge in our storms, and whatever we come in here with, we can know that if we'll just wait on You, there's a plan unfolding. You're working. You're faithful. We just thank You, Lord. Help us now. Help us now to receive what You'd want to do. We pray You keep away any distractions, Lord, and that it would just be a time of us hearing from You, our heart and Your heart. So, Lord, speak as You choose to. Give us ears to hear You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look again at our focus verses for this morning, if you would. It declares, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. The first thing we notice in these three focus verses for this morning is the repetition in each verse of the word good. Verse 25, the Lord is good. Verse 26, it is good. Verse 27, it is good. I think the Lord wants us to learn something here. Expositor's Bible commentary says an important thing about the Hebrew word here translated good. It says the significance of this word in Hebrew may escape the modern reader. For us, it tends to mean that which conforms to our concepts. But in the Old Testament, it is above all that which expresses God's will and purpose. What it's saying is we tend to hear the word good according to what we would interpret or define as good. But it actually carries a higher meaning it's trying to explain to us. When it says the Lord is good to those who wait on Him, It's trying to teach us or help us understand that this waiting is a waiting that is designed to bring us into an awareness of and an experience of God's purpose, His will for our lives. Remember the context as Jeremiah is talking about waiting on the Lord. For you see, when we're in rough times, we might think, you know, yeah, it's easy to say wait on the Lord when nothing's going on. But come on, I'm in a storm, I'm in a trial, and I got to work this out. I got to find an answer. And we rush all over trying to work it out, seeking wisdom from all those around us and all these other things. But remember the context here. Remember we've been studying. Jeremiah is in a rough time. Jerusalem sits there in ashes. It's been leveled. The homes have been destroyed, burned down. The temple itself has been destroyed. Most of the people are either dead or they've been taken captive by the Babylonians. In short, it is a major life storm that Jeremiah is going through. And yet he declares that there's a good in it all. Truth be told, most of us would have to say, I don't get it. At least in the midst of our storms, we'd say, you know, it's hard. It can be hard finding the good in our trials, in our circumstances, in our storms. But Jeremiah, well, actually the Lord, through Jeremiah, is trying to help us see how we can discover that and experience that. It's going to be through waiting. Waiting on the Lord. So this helps us begin with a question. All three verses are spoken here in the midst of a rough trial, and yet they say, or they speak of that which is good, or that which will usher in good, God's will, God's purposes in our lives. So the question is kind of set before us, do we see things, the things we go through, do we see them like God sees them? We're so often looking for the door. He says, look up, wait on me. Let's look at each verse and see what God might want to show us. Let's go a little deeper here. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, it declares, to the soul who seeks Him. Let's go step by step now. The Lord is good to who? Remember, good meaning reveals His will, His purposes, working on their behalf. Who is it? The Lord is good to who? Those who wait for Him. To the soul who seeks Him. So we can see this wait here, and the seeking is going to be a key thing. It's the only real qualifier. He's the one who will wait and seek. Well, the word wait here means to eagerly look for something, to be hungry, to desire it, to really want it. So the word wait here means to eagerly look for something. And the verb seek, that word seek here, it's a verb. The verb seek here carries the idea of seeking God in prayer and in worship, to be earnest about it, to be all about it. See, this waiting and seeking that's going to experience God's work and His goodness and all, we can see the very definitions of the words here. They imply this is going to be no little quick exercise. It's not giving God a few token moments before you gobble down the cornflakes and rush off into your day. It's not going to be, oh, yeah, I meant to think about Him a little bit. I'll give Him a few seconds here while I'm going through lunch or while I'm driving home. That person will receive very little, unfortunately, because he's talking about those who earnestly, who will go through their day rather saying, God, I want to hear from You, and I want to hear from You in this, and I want what I'm going through to be a vehicle for You to use to show me You and to move me forward in You and to do whatever You want to do in me and through me. So it's keeping that the eyes of our heart looking up all day long as we go through our trials and our circumstances, knowing that God is there and working in and through everything we go through. But it's not going to be some casual glance. This waiting is a keeping our eyes set upon Him. And it's going to take an investment of time and a commitment of our heart if we're going to really experience this goodness, this leading, this work that He desires to do. Got a question for you. It's rhetorical. You don't have to answer out loud. Please don't. But have you ever waited on the Lord? Have you ever found yourself in circumstances where you have found yourself waiting on the Lord? Now, some of you, probably most, if not all of us, would say, yeah. Matter of fact, I suspect a lot of you might say, I'm waiting on Him right now. You might say that right now. You say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Yeah, matter of fact, I'm waiting on him to give me that car I've been asking for. You would say, yeah, I'm waiting on him. I'm waiting for him to give me that job. I'm waiting for him to bring me that relationship, you know, bring me that mate or whatever your situation might be. And so we stand there saying, you know, I'm waiting on him. And matter of fact, I'm kind of wondering what the delay is here. I told him how to do it. I told him how he could work this whole thing out. I got a really good plan. All he has to do is do what I want. So, yeah, I'm waiting on him. Well, that's, in reality, that's how some of us wait. But that's not the waiting it's talking about. You're going to wait a long time when you're in that mode. But that's not the waiting that God has here. This is a waiting, as we said here, that is saying, Lord, I want your will. I want to know your purposes, your plan, your work, and I want it in your time and in your way. Because I understand, Lord, I'm just one part of the whole puzzle. And there's a whole bunch you're doing all the time. And so, Lord, I don't want to be the rebellious child. I want to be the one who's waiting on you and just hungering for your work, your leading. And so it's going to involve prayer. It's going to involve worship. It's going to involve tuning our hearts to his and not trying to tune his to ours. See, that's the kind of waiting that's going to receive this blessing. You know, the King James Version has a verse that I think puts this kind of waiting and what it's like in a really neat way. So I'm going to put it up here. It's in Psalm 123, 2. And it says, behold, as the eyes of servants look under the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. I like that verse. Because that's a really good working definition of what it means to wait on the Lord. For it describes a servant who is waiting on his master. And what's involved in that, does it say? He watches his master. He's attentive to his master. Try to picture a gathering in those days of maybe some kings or some princes, some dignitaries. And they have their servants with them. And so they're gathered together. And around the outside of the meeting, around the walls of the tent, or the building, or all these servants. And they're there because their masters are there in the meeting. Now, the idea in this is this. As the masters, the dignitaries, are going through their meeting, if a need arises for that particular king, he would signal his servant. And the servant was, of course, to be watching his master and come on over to find out what the master wanted. He'd be there at his master's bidding. Now, think what a poor servant the servant would be if the servant's kind of just talking to the other guy, hey, how you guys been? And meanwhile, the king's going, hey, you, come here, huh? Oh, well, wait a minute, king, I'm talking here, you know? Unfortunately, sometimes that's how we are. We're so distracted and looking all around where our master's saying, come here, I got something. I want to minister. I want to speak. So it's the idea of as we wait on the Lord, as we go through our days, it's with our hearts and the eyes of our hearts, so to speak, we keep our eyes on him so that when he beckons, we respond. We wouldn't miss it. We wouldn't miss what he wants to do. When I went into the military, I had the privilege of going through, and this was many years ago, of course, but I went through basic training in the military. Now, let me pause for a moment and mention this. I understand that if you are in the Navy or have been in the Navy or the Army or have been to the Army, you would suggest that I maybe went through basic training. You see, I was in the Air Force. And most of you in the Army or Navy would say, well, you kind of went through basic training. And those of you in the Marines, you'd say, you know I didn't go through basic training. Well, it was the basic that they gave in that day. And sure enough, I went through that basic training. An incident happened that I still remember that, again, hopefully it's going to kind of give us a little picture of what it means to wait on the Lord. You see, there was an occasion in which we were all sitting around, and our drill instructor was giving out some scores to some things we'd been through. And thus, all us recruits are sitting around there. And now, of course, this is the way I remember it. But as I remember it, he was going down the alphabet, going through our names, and he would yell out the guy's name and give your score, and so that you were to, yes, sir, yes, sir, you know, that you heard it and everything. Okay, and so he's working through the names, giving the name, giving the score. He's coming to my name, and he gives my name, and he stopped. And I'm waiting for my score. Well, to this day, I swear that he changed what he was doing. because he said my name, stop, and I'm waiting, and he looked at me. Now, if you ever had a drill instructor look at you this way, you know what I mean. You see, in basic, at least for me and a lot of us, the goal was to fly under the radar. You don't want to be in trouble. You just want to do your best and get through, survive it, you know? And so, but he looked at me, and I remember all sitting down, and I actually stood right up. I go, and I go, and he goes, don't you know your name? And you're not going to go, well, you were doing it different. You're not going to do that. You're fried at that point. And so he said, from now on, every time you see me, when I haven't been around you, but all of a sudden you are, you're around me, I want you to come up and report to me, and then tell me your name. Okay. You know, I mean, I'd say it to him. Yes, sir. You know, now, I mean, you know, it's no big deal. They're there to break in, humble you, and that's okay. And you know that. So you go in, and if you have that attitude, you survive. But okay. So sure enough, anytime I'd come marching up in the group, let's say you're coming back from the chow hall or you've done something, and because you have a couple drill instructors, so that one wasn't always around. But let's say I come up and there he is. Or he just comes out of a building. We haven't seen him. I would have to break ranks after we stop, walk up, and I'd have to, you know, sir, now they're called airmen. Instead of privates, you're called airmen. It's your lowest ring. Sir, Airman Dickinson reporting is ordered. Sir, what is it, Airman Dickinson? My name is Airman Dickinson. And they'd say, dismissed. And I could go back in line. Now, you know, the other guys are going, not out loud. But anyway, so I would have to do that. Every time I'd see him, I had to break ranks, go up and report, sir, and do the whole thing. But I watched for him. And so every time we'd do that, every time I'd say, oh, there he is, you know. So I'd go up and report to him, and sir, Airman Dickinson, go through the whole thing. Now, matter of fact, I remember one time we came up, and he was sitting outside these barracks with another drill instructor, and I go, okay. So we stop. I walk up, did the whole reporting thing, and then he said, okay, dismissed. I went back. Well, he probably the other drill instructor said, what's that about? Well, then he decided to test me. Unbeknownst to me, he went back inside the barracks and came back out. Well, at this time, we're kind of on a semi-break thing, you know, kind of a smoke if you got them thing, you know. You're just standing around kind of whatever in line and you're hanging out there. All of a sudden, I hear, Airman Dickinson. What? I go running back up to him. Yes, yes, sir. I went back in and came out. How come you didn't come back up? You know, you're going, well, you're not going to do that. You know, you're just, oh, okay, you know. So anyway, it was that kind of a thing. So I had to go through a period of time where I just had to, everywhere I went, I had to watch for him. There did reach a day one day we were out by the firing range, and I went up and had to report to him on the firing range. And after I got all done, he kind of got quiet, and he got up close, and he goes, you don't have to do that anymore. I don't know if I did in front of someone else and embarrassed him or what, but he goes, he finally said, let it go. Anyway, I did that out of fear. How much more should we keep our eyes on the Lord because of his goodness? That in everything we do, we'd watch for him. In terms of what he wants to say or do. But I wonder how much we really do that, especially in our trials. The Lord is good to those who will do that, who will eagerly watch for and hunger for him. And who is it? Who is it we're to wait for? The Lord is good to those who what? Wait for him. Seek him. Please hear that. It's no small part of this whole thing. The Lord is good to those who seek him. Too often we think we're seeking him when we seek churchianity. We seek religiosity. You know, we go to church, we act right, do right, don't do bad things, we hang out with the right people, dress pretty conservative, watch pretty much the right TV programs, stay away from all the don'ts, you know, and we think that that's going to do it. But it's those who wait on, those who seek him. That speaks of personal fellowship. That only comes from time. First of all, you got to start the relationship, and that's only ushered into our lives through receiving what Christ did for you on the cross. That's how you get connected to God the Father. And once you do that, the call here is to maintain that waiting attitude throughout the day, throughout your circumstances. Verse 26, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So now this verse adds this into the hopper. that as you wait, he says, do this with hope. Mingle hope in your waiting. And do it quietly, meaning patiently. Don't be all anxious and stirred up. But wait with hope. Mingle hope in so you don't get discouraged. And have a peace about it. Wait quietly upon the Lord. Well, easy to say when you're not going through a problem. But when you're in a trial, how in the world do you wait quietly? And that's what we often fall into, that trap of we rush around and figure there's got to be something I can do. And we try to force this and make that and go here and do that. And that's why Ironside said it's such a lost art amongst believers today to really wait in any meaningful way on the Lord. And in doing so, we miss out. Well, how do I wait with hope and quietly upon God? Go back to verse 22. We haven't looked at them yet. Remember the verses that precede our focus verses. They're a key part of this. We looked at these last week if you were here, but if you weren't, that's fine. Verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. That's how I'm going to have hope as I wait. That's how I'm going to be able to wait with peace, quietly, quiet of soul, peace of soul. How? By remembering who it is I'm waiting on. By remembering these things about him, that his mercies, because of his mercies, I'm not consumed. That his compassions fail not. That his mercies are new every morning. It's a fresh start. And that he is faithful. Great is your faithfulness, it tells us. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. You see, those truths about God being so, that's why it's good to wait for his will. Because this is how he is. This is who we find in him. But when we don't wait upon him, what does that say about our beliefs, our real heart belief of these verses? Do we really believe he's this way? Have we experienced him that he's this way? Do we trust in him that he's like this? You see, if I don't wait on him, then it would suggest I don't really understand what I have in him. So how am I going to wait quietly and have hope? It's by remembering the previous verses. It's remembering who you're waiting on. And notice in our verse 26, it says that this waiting with hope and quietly is for the salvation of the Lord. I just want to stop for a moment and mention something. The salvation spoken of here is not the soul salvation that we think of when we think in terms of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's not this Hebrew word. The salvation of our souls, that which ushers in eternal life into our life, is something that happens. It's the work of an instant. The moment that heart, that life, receives what Christ did on the cross. The moment you receive that, you are saved. You belong to him. You have eternal life with him. But this word here, this Hebrew word that says that we will, it's good to wait for our salvation, it's a word in the Hebrew that means to rescue. It's translated throughout the Bible, deliverance, help, safety, salvation, or victory. So it's good that one should hope and wait quietly, it's saying, for the deliverance, meaning for him to work, for him to work it out, for him to bring help to you. So remember who you're waiting on, and remember that he's at work and he's bringing this victory, he's accomplishing these things, and that'll help us wait in hope and patience and in peace. And then verse 27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. I'm not going to speak a lot on that, simply to say it is a wise youth who learns these lessons while much of life's journey is still ahead of him or her. I had two spiritual fathers, two men I count as my spiritual fathers. One is home with the Lord, and the other is still being used by the Lord today. But I remember him saying some time back, but he is older. And I remember hearing him say one time, and I hope I can convey it, but it spoke to me. He was sharing with all of us how he said, I've lived long enough now, he says, that I've learned the lesson that There come a time as I go through this that usually I'll be able to look back and say, okay, now I see what God was doing. Now I understand more of it, or I see how he's going to use it, or whatever. So I've lived long enough now to understand that. He said he's also told the Lord, Lord, if you would have taught me that when I was young, I wouldn't have given you so much trouble. I wouldn't have been that one, Lord, why are you doing this? Where are you going? I don't get it. Why don't you do it my way? Well, it's taken him a lot of his life to learn that lesson, to trust that God's always at work. And now he's older. He says, sure enough, he always is. He's working it for good or whatever. Well, the message basically in verse 27 is it's good to learn that lesson when you're still young. Trust that God's working. Like you, I've been through a certain amount of storms and situations in my life. And like you at the time, you know, you just, it's hard. You don't get it. And it's not going on. And it can pull at you. But if you've been around a while, you start saying, but God, I see now, you're always at work, you're always faithful, I can trust you. A guy named Richard Hendricks said, second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality most of us ever encounter. End quote. And that's a good lesson for all of us, no matter what age we are, to know and remember this is one of God's main tools. Now, we've looked at our three focus verses for this morning. Let me now mention this or have us consider this. It says that it's good if we'll wait on him. In the midst of all we go through, it's good. Well, what are some of the promised results if we'll wait on him? What are the benefits of waiting on the Lord? Not what I say or you say, but what does God say? We're not going to be able to exhaust the list, but I want to give it just a couple for us to consider now. So I'm going to put on the overhead up here, and you're going to see that there it is. I've titled it, Those Who Wait on the Lord. So we're just going to consider some of the benefits, if you will, some of the results for us if we will wait on the Lord. Now, there's just going to be some points and then some verses to support that point. So you'll see it's in the Bible, that I'm not making it up. Now, if you're keeping notes, you want to write down the verse, and you can look it up later. But we're going to move right through it because there's a couple here, and I want to be sensitive to our time. But still, let's look at this. Those who wait on the Lord, the first thing we learn in the Bible, it says those who wait on the Lord are heard. God hears them. What am I basing that on? Psalm 41. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Now, that's not to say that we sometimes don't have those prayers that are emergency prayers like, help! And we can know that he hears. But this whole process of really experiencing his work, as we said earlier, the word implies some time, an investment of it's seeking him rightly, if you will, being in a right relationship with him and seeking him rightly. And part of that is waiting patiently for the Lord. But for those who do, he hears us. We can be assured of that. If we'll wait on him, he hears, he's working. What else for those who wait on the Lord? It tells us for those who wait on the Lord are blessed. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. The blessings of, the happiness, that's waiting for those who wait on him because they discover things about him. They'll know things they wouldn't have known if they hadn't waited. They'll grow in their walk with him. What's next? Those who wait on the Lord experience his goodness. Now, what do I base that upon? It's our text for this morning. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So, Scripture supports that those who wait on him will experience his goodness. Remember how we defined goodness. What next for those who wait on the Lord? They shall not be ashamed. Another way to look at that is they shall not be disappointed, is the idea. The text for that, Psalm 25:3. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. And there's others. This is just one example. What else for those who wait on the Lord? Where they shall renew their strength. Well-known text, of course. Let's look at it. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Too many of us get to the running and the walking and the mounting up before we do the waiting. We try to do it with our energy, our own strength. And we wonder why we conk out and we don't hang in there. But but there's a renewing of our strength. Now, true, physically, these bodies are wearing out, but the Bible teaches, meanwhile, the inner man is being renewed. There's a renewing of our spiritual strength as we just wait on Him and get that fresh work in our hearts. What else for those who wait on the Lord? The Bible says they'll inherit the earth. Psalm 37:9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, eagerly look for Him, remember the definition, they shall inherit the earth. What else for those who wait on the Lord? They shall rejoice in salvation. This one are in Isaiah 25:9. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. One more. They shall receive strengthened hearts. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And again, remember, heart in the Bible is us, not just that muscle that pumps blood, but us, the real us. And it's saying those who wait on the Lord, He'll strengthen you, the real you, the core person inside here. So the psalmist cries out, wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, these are some of the reasons why it's good to wait on the Lord. Remember, it says the Lord is good to those who wait on Him. These are just some of, not exhaustive list, but some of the reasons why it's good to wait on the Lord. How blessed are those who learn to wait, eagerly look for, and seek through prayer and worship and all, His will. Well, what will your next trial find you doing? What will the next storm find you looking to? How are you going to get through it? What will you be about? That's the challenge, that's the exhortation, and that's the invitation. There's a place in all that we go through that we can look to Him, experience Him, know Him better, have Him work in and through us. May we learn to wait on the Lord. How I, as your pastor, want to encourage you to either learn or grow in this whole thing of waiting on God, taking time to wait, to look for in your prayer life, in your life as you go throughout the day and all, to just keep looking, whether it's me looking for the drill instructor or you or that servant looking for his master, all of us, you should be all of us looking for what's God want to do and show me and teach me and work in this. Wait, eagerly looking for His will, seeking through prayer and worship and heart attitude, hoping. I mean, have faith, a true and living hope we have, having faith in our God, knowing His character, His nature and all, trusting Him through it all. What will the storms find you doing? Remember, verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Let's stand. We invite you to give prayer this morning. As the worship team comes up, there'll be prayer partners over here by the prayer room. Would you like prayer? Don't leave here wishing you'd taken time to get some prayer. Maybe it's something you're going through. Maybe you want to give Him thanks for something. Maybe you just for this week coming up. It's going to be a rough week, and you want some prayer for whatever it might be. Please, come get prayer if you choose to. But as we head out now, have a great day. Enjoy the day. Remember, in every day, take time to make sure that we look to Him, that we're waiting on Him. You'll never regret it, because He's good to those who will wait for Him. Father, we are in awe of how much You love us, sending Your Son to die for us. Lord, how we pray if there's anybody here who hasn't received that, that today they'll receive Your offer of forgiveness. But Lord, for those of us who, by Your mercy, we stand in this place of forgiveness, and as Your children, Lord, thank You that You show us the way to walk, the way to travel, the things of our lives. Lord, thank You for showing us, reminding us, and help us, Lord, to grow in this truth You've given us, that You're good. You're good to those who just wait on, hunger for, long for, desire Your work, to the soul that will actively seek You in it all. Thank You for that. Lord, may we be those who You find doing just that. And may You get all the glory through it all. In Jesus' name. Amen.